Welcome to Rhymes Against Humanity with Adam Brodsky. This is number, I believe, 7, maybe 8. No, it's number 8. Anyway, we're doing something a little different this week. I am about to go on, first of all, it's the end of August, and so anybody that doesn't have to be has left this burg. And so I am going about tomorrow, the day after, I am going on a nice little road trip with my boys. I'm going to go out to Chicago and see the Phils in Wrigley Field. They might even win, who knows. So what we did is a little different. Instead of having a musical guest, I'm lining up some great guests. I actually got some very excited for some people that are coming in to the Permanent Records podcast studios in September. But basically Jim came over, my friend Jim, and we talked about the Phillies. We talked about waitering and tipping and things like that. And we didn't really have a musical interview, but that's okay. So I'm gonna sing you this song. And then you can listen to Jim and me babble for about 20 minutes if you want to. And then there will be no show on Labor Day weekend, but then we're going to come back at the end of the summer, at the beginning of the fall with some wonderful, wonderful stuff. Anyway, this is a song that I wrote. It's called Once I Put a Dollar in a Politician's Hand, I think is maybe what it's called. Once I put a dollar in a politician's hand, but a pack wrote a soft money check for 700 grand, stable to a bill that asked to frack up on my land. When he voted it the law, he said, I hope you understand. Oh, I understand all too well. You bought into the system and the system's bought to hell. Bribery is legal and democracy is dead. I wanna kick you in the dick so hard your balls pop out your head. I wanna kick you in the dick so hard your balls pop out your head. As you've rendered other remedies all impotent or dead. You'll be okay, your job comes with terrific major med. So I kick dick so hard your balls pop out your head. When things get bad, we rally and we go out to the polls and re-elect them schmucks we voted out 2 years ago. And 2 years later, nothing's changed again. We feel the panic, swap the blue chairs with the red wines on the deck of the Titanic. Well, the system is a shell game. It's a motherfucking joke. Well, they stole our goddamn country for some cell phones and Diet Coke. The two-party system's an illegal monopoly. Yes, lipstick on that fascist pig they call democracy. Oh, I understand all too well. I bought into the system and the system's about to hell. Bribery is legal and democracy is dead. I wanna kick you in the dick so hard your balls pop out your head. Now you may say to me, hey Adam, every one of them ain't all that bad. Cause this one time your elected guy shook hands with your old dad. But that very night he flew away and out of state he ate. For people who have paid him $1,500 a plate. He's gotta raise $10,000. He's gotta raise $20,000. He's gotta raise $30,000 for every week that he's in office. And even if you had 10 dads, they couldn't fill his coffers. Running costs of money and money access grants. But I notice little equalizer in the middle of his pants. So I understand all too well. You bought into the system and the system's bought to hell. Bribery is legal and democracy is dead. I wanna kick you in the dick so hard your balls pop out your head. We'll be right back. under 35, are they really all corrupt? You asked me and I answered, did I stutter? One word, yup. Remove the money from elections and one man will have one vote. And your representative gonna value you just like he does David Cole. Well, campaign finance bills, you know, they must be introduced by representatives who got there blowing the golden goose. They arrive in town beholden and they leave as lobbyists. This fucking Amway with a printing press, you bet your dick I'm pissed. Well, since the dawn of recorded history, there's been two separate classes. And you know that adage about life being a crab sandwich. So when I look for true equality from the cream down to the dregs, yeah, I often find it dangling between them pasty legs. Now you may say, hey Adam, it's the 21st century. And ain't this here song that you wrote just a pain to equality? And I say, yeah, there's probably a few whose peen I don't deserve a punt. But in that special case, they'll brace for an instep to their I understand all too well. You bought into the system and the system's bought to hell. Bribery is legal and democracy is dead. I want to kick you in the dick so hard your balls pop out your head. I want to kick you in the dick so hard your balls pop out your head. Cause you've rendered other remedies all impotent or dead. Yeah, you'll be okay, your job comes with terrific major med. I'm gonna kick you dick so hard your balls pop out your
Against Humanity, number 8, I do believe. That is 008, I believe. We are actually, this is the end of the month of August, and anybody who could possibly be out of this town is out of this town. It is the slowest, laziest time of year. And as such, as we're doing an end of the month thing, Jim and I are about to go to the River Sharks game tonight. So we're going to do, we're not going to have a songwriter yet. Have you ever written a song?
I wrote one.
Okay, is that the one you had to write for class?
No.
You wrote it just of your own.
I wrote it of my. Fun. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it. You want a guitar or something?
I could just sing it to you.
There's would love that.
There's only one verse.
Okay.
So I had heard, this was years ago, on the news that it was either in Prague or Czechoslovakia and something like that. Or yeah, one of those.
Prague actually is, but.
It was either in Pragovakia or Transylvania or one of the, it was in one of those Eastern Bloc sort of
yes
Mr. Bond countries that there was a lot of rain and a lot of flooding and the zoo had flooded out and all of the animals that were in these water environments in the zoo had escaped because they. They had overflown their banks, so there were these family of seals that this zoo had captured, and these seals escaped the zoo, and they found of the four of them, they found one.
Okay.
So that means that there are three seals on the lam.
Three seals on the lam. That is a porno you do not want to read.
In some Eastern Bloc country. And I wrote a song about it. It was the only song I ever wrote, and it goes like this: Swim to freedom, little seal. Only those who've been in prison know exactly how you feel. So swim to freedom, little seal. And that's it.
That's pretty good. You should retire on top.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, that was all I could, I didn't feel like writing anything else.
And, okay.
You know.
Okay. Well, if the seal ever heard that song, he would probably flip, clap for you. And then he would blow a horn and
yes, balance a ball on his head and then, yeah, eat a couple of fish, yes.
So anyway, what we are going to do is we are going to have a brief little discussion about the Philadelphia Phillies, about the Camden River Sharks, and then about tipping.
Sure. The city in China of Taiping.
Yes. So, first off, we are off to see, let's start with the worst first. Okay. We are off to see the Camden River Sharks.
Are you sure that that's the worst?
I'm not anymore. That's how bad it is. That the Phillies might be worse than the River Sharks. Like, who do you think would win a 7-game series?
I gotta believe the Phillies would, but let me tell you this: the Philadelphia Phillies are the worst team in baseball, with the exception of one. And I know you know who the worst team in baseball is.
Is it the Padres?
No, it's not the Padres.
Wait, who's even? Oh, usually I normally say Pirates, but
just redid their uniforms this year. They had Brett Myers as an ace.
Oh, right. Oh, I forgot they were in the major leagues. They moved over to the American League.
They moved over to the American League, so it's hard. It's easy to forget that they are actually a team.
See, they should. It would wreak havoc with finances, but that deal that they do in college in European soccer, where the worst team slips down a division, and the best team slips up.
So the Astros to Triple A. Yeah, I don't even think that they would compete in Triple A.
Listen, it's all about capology.
Capology. So the Philadelphia Phillies are the second worst team in Major League Baseball right now.
No, you mean for the for the season, just like since the All-Star break or something.
The All-Star break. Right now, they're the second worst team in baseball. They lost like, since the All-Star break, how many games have they lost? How many games
all
have they
them
won?
Five, right.
Have they won 5 games?
I think 5 or 6.
That's crazy.
Okay, so Ruben Amaro fires Charlie Manuel.
Ugh.
Because Nixon fired everybody before he had to resign.
Oh.
So the purging has begun. Andy Reid kept firing people until eventually he lost his job. However, I've said this actually on the podcast before, and I know we've had this conversation. I don't think it's that bad. I think he's just hanging on till they get the big contract, and then they're going to go buy the pieces. And I think he knows that Ryan Sandberg, Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins and everybody else is done. But he wants people to watch, and people won't tune in for Cody Ashe.
Cody Ashe, the competitive eater. the Nathan's hot dog champion, Cody Ashe.
That's funny.
You really have faith in Uncle Rube,
it's
huh?
I could do that job. If you have a $1 billion contract, you buy what you need. And
they haven't bought anybody.
They don't need anybody
yet. They bought John McDonald, whose selling point was he's a good guy in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I think he came with a bunch of gloves. He has a good glove collection.
They got the mud. They got the ball mud with him.
A bucket of it. We are good till 2019 with
that.
There
you go. We're good. We're okay. Now, you got guys. Look at the lineup. You got the bum clown in right field, right? You got Wells. Jay Wells?
Who's that?
Jay Wells from the New York Rangers?
The New York Rangers.
Is that Jay Wells? The guy from the 80 Olympic team? Is that the guy that's playing center field? You got, who's in left field nowadays?
Who's on first? Darren, is Ruff playing left?
Ruff, yeah, okay, whatever. Do we have a third baseman?
Yeah, but Michael Young still plays sometimes, right?
Michael Young took 5 strikes to strike out the other day, by the way. They played the Rockies,
okay.
And the pitcher's name is Rex Brothers, which if you get the Rex Brothers 2008, it's
nice.
A really, really good year for pitchers. Rex Brothers balked twice in the same at-bat. Did you see this?
No, I did not.
Holy shit. He balked twice in the same at-bat. Now, you're supposed to – the easiest way to call a balk, right,
mm-hmm.
is – when a pitcher doesn't stop before he starts his pitching motion.
That is
right?
correct. He must You're supposed come to stop.
You put your hands together, you do the old namaste, right. and then you start your pitching motion,
yes.
right? This guy didn't do it twice. And who's the umpire? Bob Davidson is the umpire, Balkan okay. Bob, because he's always the guy that calls it. So they call it once, and the runners advance. And the very next couple of pitches, he does it again. And the runners advance again. And this is still with Michael Young at bat. Michael Young finally strikes out. On the third strike, where he finally struck out, he balked again. And they didn't say anything about it. It was the same motion. The guy doesn't stop. So,
he's got somewhere to be.
What are my thoughts about Michael Young?
Well, like I've said, they're going to buy what they need, and unfortunately, like other than Ryan Howard, there's no contract that they're so locked into that it's poisonous. There's just that one, right?
There's just that one awful, hideous, bloated monstrosity of an Achilles tendon
right.
of a contract.
But since there's no salary cap, when they get their billion-dollar deal, they can have a $225 million payroll, and they pay the luxury tax.
But they're not going to do that.
Don't think so?
No, they've already... Don't you remember last year and the year before that
right.
Ruben had a salary... Ruben said $140 million.
Right.
That was it. That was all they were going to spend.
This is what I'm saying, is that with the new Comcast contract...
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole new world. They're going to spend Yankees money.
They're already like number two or three,
right.
aren't they?
Yeah, they're a large payroll team.
Yeah.
But they're always bumping up against the luxury tax.
Yeah.
They're going to have to go over it unless they can deal Ryan Howard. And even then, I guess maybe they could stay under it by giving him away and paying half of his salary, you know, and having the Yankees pay the other half or whatever.
Just blow it up, for Christ's sake.
Of course he has to blow it up. But what I'm saying is he won't blow it up until he has the money to buy a new team. And meanwhile, he just needs to keep the ratings up because, look, they're not winning any games, but this whole town still loves Jimmy, and this town still loves Chase.
I still love Jimmy.
Yeah, you certainly do love Jimmy. And Jimmy's playing pretty well for a 60-year-old man, you know?
60, 70-year-old guy. Listen, all I can tell you is I have tickets in the rich people section tomorrow for the Colorado Rockies series. And yesterday I checked the Citizens Bank rules of conduct, guest rules of conduct, to see how large my Fire Ruben sign could be.
Are they have those specs there?
They do have those specs. It can only be 4 feet by 8 feet long.
4 by 8 seems pretty generous.
Right? And, you know, they actually have guidelines as to what it can be about, too.
Okay.
The guidelines is, you know, it has to be about the team. It has to be about the players on the team or the managers or the ownership of the team. They actually include in there, too. So I think I'm good. If I can just put Fire Ruben or tell it to the czar or start the bus or one of those on a...
So would you have fired Charlie?
No.
Okay.
No. He's done after this year.
Okay.
Why fire him in the middle of the season?
Okay, now forget about your tender, warm, loving...
No! Heart. I will not forget about my tender, warm love for the guy who won... 7 postseason appearances for the guy who won us a World Series, the first World Series in my lifetime since I was 5 years old. I won't forget about the love that I have for this guy. I don't care. I'm the anti-Eskin. All right?
It's a cold, heartless game.
Yeah.
Now the facts are, Ryan Sandberg is going to be the manager next April. It has always been the plan for him to be the skipper next spring.
Yeah. Well, you knew that when he was coming in.
Right.
Okay.
So you're going nowhere. So why not give him a running start? Why not let him warm up to this?
Why not let Papelbon pitch the 7th inning? Or the 8th inning?
Touché.
To see if we can, you know.
Okay, now you probably shouldn't do that, but you should bet your pitcher's 8th. I am so positive about this.
The La Russa method.
You should bat your pitcher's 8th.
8th. That'll really confuse him. Or have him clean up.
Did you see the other night? Chooch was in the 2-hole.
Was he?
Yes.
I know they've been experimenting with the lineup. I did not see.
Chooch was in the 2-hole.
Traditionally in that spot, you'd want a guy who can, you know.
Walk.
Run. Or walk at least.
The 2-hole.
The 2-hole. Well,
it is Lou Gehrig.
The Yeah. Well, listen. What's Ryan Sandberg now? 1-3?
I don't know.
1-2?
1-3, I think.
1-3?
2-2? I don't know.
Clearly, yeah. All of our problems were were Charlie's fault. Yes. And everything is solved.
I forgot to tell you guys to hit.
Yeah. I mean, R.I.S.P., it's not that Aretha Franklin song, R.I.S.P., nice. E.C.T. It's actually runners in scoring position, and you should hit the ball when, you know, people are on base. That's all I can tell
you. They're an old bad team, but we knew this. What did you say at the beginning of the season? Because I had them for 75 wins.
Third place.
And you, okay, good. They'll be lucky.
I don't think they're going to make third place. I think they're going to be fourth place this year.
But now, this is weird anomaly year. Like, the Pirates are not actually fading like everyone thought they would. The Pirates are going to the playoffs.
Just give them time.
They're like the second best team in baseball, right?
The Dodgers are probably the best team right now.
The Dodgers are on some ridiculous fire, but the Pirates are right behind them. The Pirates have won 70-plus games.
Listen, if there's anything I know about watching the Pittsburgh Pirates, it's that... They are the
Smarty Jones.
Yeah, they are the Barbaro of Major League Baseball. They will not last into the playoffs.
Speaking of not lasting into the playoffs, let's talk River Sharks.
Oh my God! From one bad team to the worst team.
Are they the worst in the Atlantic League?
Here's what I have to say about the Atlantic League of professional baseball.
He made air quotes as he said professional.
Professional baseball, yes. The Atlantic League of Professional Baseball is not for baseball fans. The Atlantic League is for the family of four with, a couple kids to relax on a Friday night to.
Oh, the fucking kids tonight.
The Atlantic League is... For the schools to bring their kids to in the afternoon so that they don't have to teach them for X amount of hours. The Atlantic League is not a league for baseball fans, and I'll tell you why. Number one, it's an awful league. But number two, it's designed to be awful. It's in its very nature to be awful.
Why is that?
Well, because if anybody ever gets to be on any kind of tear, has any kind of luck, or has any kind of good fortune in this league, they automatically get snatched up by a Major League Baseball team.
To while away in AAA.
To while away in AAA, to fill a seat for the Cody Ashies and the Cody Ashie and the Joey Chestnuts of the world. So it's designed to be, it's a design flaw.
I talked on the podcast a couple of weeks ago about the goddamn blueberries.
Oh my God, the blueberries.
So everybody knows about me and the blueberries. But I honestly think, like, now...
Did you tell them that I carry a backpack with me every time I go in there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole story. God. You carry... No problem. Why? I wouldn't think I would have to hide them. Oh, don't get me riled up before I have to go look at those fuckers again for nine more innings. So, but for years, Jim has been saying, you know... We should go see the Wilmington Blue Rocks because the Blue Rocks play a better caliber of baseball. Yes. It's at the other end of the arc. It's A-ball. They're rookies. They wear stirrups. There's that girl that goes, oh, yeah, in the stands.
Yeah.
There's free parking.
Even the mascot's
better.
There's
no toll to get across the bridge. But all these things, I like the River Sharks because, you know, it was right across the river. Camden is Philadelphia's, like special needs little brother.
Yeah.
Come here, you knucklehead. And not only that, after the game, I mean, you drive from the Northeast to come here, so you're already in the car for a while. But me, you pick me up, we go over, we're there after the game. God damn it, we're right home. I like the convenience, the package of it all. But slowly, they've been wearing me down with the shitty... I mean, it's pretty much a fact that I am not exaggerating. If the starting pitcher does not give the bullpen a four-run lead...
And eight innings. Yeah.
He will lose the fucking game because the bullpen is, you know, these are guys who aren't good enough to start an unaffiliated ball.
He's good, but he's not starting in the Atlantic League good.
Yeah. So it is a fucking shit show out there. And they seem like nice guys.
They're very nice guys. Although some of them are PED heads.
You think?
I always like to peruse the transactions page of the Atlantic League Baseball site to look at who's got what and, you know, who the River Sharks have picked up. And then I play the game, why is he in the Atlantic League? And about six times out of ten, it's because he got busted for some kind of drug thing.
Yeah, if you're facing a 100-game suspension, well, you could just go to the Atlantic League.
Now, there are some success stories that come out of the Atlantic League. Scott Kazmir was a pitcher for the Sugarland Skeeters last year.
Okay.
Scott Kazmir was a very highly rated draft pick, I think, who, I don't know if he got injured or if he found Jesus or if he found an injured Jesus or something like that. But for whatever reason, he wound up in the Atlantic League for the whole year last year. And now he is the number five starter on the Indians, which, you know, is like being,
I'm going to see the Indians next week.
Oh, that's right. You're going
to Detroit. Yeah.
And Dontrell, everybody passed on
D-Train,
even the Phillies did. So he wound up in the Atlantic League playing for the Long Island Ducks, and he did, pretty well.
Okay.
And now he just got signed again by, I don't know who he got signed by, but I know he's not in the Atlantic League anymore.
Wilson Valdez is starting tonight, right?
Yes, yeah, Wilson.
Nobody wants him.
Wilson Valdez. My crowning achievement in the whole Wilson Valdez experiment is buying a Wilson volleyball
with the face on it and
with
everything.
With the Castaway face on it and taking it to the game and having him sign it.
Which did not faze him. This was not the first volleyball he had signed.
No, apparently he had not. He asked me, where do you want me to sign it? I said,
right
on the face, dude. I don't know. What am I? I'm not the superstar who's in a shitty baseball league.
I saw his hat in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, so we're going to go out. We're going to go to PNC Park, which I hear is beautiful. And then we're going to go to Detroit and see them play the Indians.
Oh, nice.
And then we are going to see the Cubs and Phils in Chicago. And then we're going to wind our way home eating giant hamburgers and seeing. I don't think we're going to make it to the Creation Museum. I want to take my friends to the Creation Museum, but I think it's too far out of the way in Kentucky.
That is a long drive.
Yeah, it's in Cincinnati is where it is, or right out. But it's right between Cincinnati and Kentucky. So it's a long drive. I'm going to try and sell it to them, but we'll see.
I want to hear that conversation. Look, guys. There's a museum.
Well, the thing is, either way, you can enjoy it ironically or sincerely. Your choice.
It's true. It's true. You can either ironically.
There are all sorts of signs on it that say, be respectful, we're not kidding.
Really?
Yeah, because no one is respectful. Because for fuck's sake, it's a creationist museum.
It got dinosaurs carrying, cavemen.
It's a living.
It's a living.
So, finally, there's this article about tipping keeps coming up. There are restaurants. There's a couple of restaurants. I forget the name of one.
Yeah.
In New York.
Yeah.
Have had a no tipping policy, and they're paying their waiters a living wage instead of $2.83.
Oh yeah. Listen, when I think of restaurateurs, I just think of the salt of the earth, most generous. unafraid to spend the money to make the money type of guys. There's never been a restaurateur in my experience who is, willing to sell his own mother's blood in order to make a profit. So when I hear living wage out of these guys, of course they're probably paying them a living wage. I mean, I'm sure that these servers are probably, God, I bet you they're using $100 bills for toilet paper. And dog toilet paper for,
So you're not in favor of making a living wage and foregoing tipping.
No, because given the choice, a restaurateur would pay you zero.
Right.
There has never been a guy in the restaurant, or a girl for that matter, in the restaurant business who says, I want to open a restaurant and I really want to take care of these servers. I think the number one priority is for us to pay these guys a living wage. Now, they want to keep the costs down. That means food costs and payroll. Even the guy that I work for right now, the Italian from 1942, says, Jimbo, there's only two things you control in this business. The payroll and the linen. Which is why he goes in the trash can after us if we were to throw a napkin away, because he thinks, this is still good. Why you throw this away? You know how much I pay for this? anybody that says, well, we just eliminate tipping, or anybody that has the argument, well, I don't tip them that much because, you know, they should, it should be the owner's responsibility to pay them a living wage, and I don't think that I should be paying them extra. You know, it says $9.99 for this burger. I'm only going to pay $9.99. I'm not going to give this guy
an extra. You don't get stiffed where you work, do you?
I have.
Really?
I got stiffed, not really stiffed, but you get people that think 15% is okay. Or people that sometimes we deal with checks that have such a large amount to them, $300, $400, $500, $600.
Right.
That a guy will tip and he won't think about the percentage of the bill. You know? He'll just say, well, I gave the guy $40. You know, thinking that he did the waiter a solid. Not knowing that it was a $1,000 check and he
what's actually, the biggest check you've ever had at your joint?
Well, we've waited on parties that are $3,000 and $4,000.
Oh, okay.
Myself personally, I've waited on $700, $800 checks.
Wow.
You know? And in that case we do add, you know, I am a stickler for gratuity.
So what do you is it number of people after six people you add a gratuity? Or
I mean, traditionally restaurants will say after six people that they will add gratuity. I've been in some restaurants where they actually make you pay before you eat.
Really?
Yes. This is in where is this place? Some diners and
Burger King does that.
Yeah, no. They make you pay before you eat and everything. But what was I saying? You get people that think that they're doing you a solid by giving you a $20 bill, but not realizing that that's not really a percentage of the check. You know, it's an old argument, but I have to tip out from the money that you give me.
Right.
I have to give my money to the support staff, meaning the bussers and the bartenders. And it's not a small chunk of change sometimes, you know? So whenever I hear anybody talk about living wage and it's like Vetri, you know, Mark Vetri is the bigwig restaurateur in city of Philadelphia. He's opening up a new pizzeria, I believe, this month or something down there on North Broad Street, where the rent is cheap and, you know, all the socialites will flock to. He actually had a big argument with the city about he was taking a percentage of the charge tips,
yeah,
from the servers. In other words, MasterCard will, for every charge that you put through MasterCard, they will charge you a certain fee, right? Like a 3% fee or something like that.
So I have a $75 bill. Yeah. I pay $100 total. I'm paying $75 and then I tip the waiter $25.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm paying $100.
So the mere fact that you used your MasterCard or your Visa card at this restaurant, MasterCard or Visa will charge the restaurateur a small fee.
Is it 2 or 3%, something like that?
I think it's around there.
Okay.
Mark Vetri is in favor of and has been taking that fee out of the tips that are left for the waiter.
Now, he says he doesn't take all of it. He just takes he takes the percentage of your tip.
Yeah, I don't care if he doesn't. I don't care if he takes a half a percent of a half a percent. He's still taking money.
Agreed.
That doesn't belong to him.
Right.
You know, under the guise of, well, we run so many credit cards and we're so busy that, you know, these totals add up. Yeah, that's why you're in business. You know, you have 8 or 10 restaurants under your belt and you're making a profit hand over fist. You're going to incur some overhead and that should be part of it. You know?
Okay.
I don't know. I get fired up when anybody says servers make a decent wage and I don't see why I should be giving them this much money. It's a bunch of bullshit. Most of these people work, you know, full-time or they have 2 or 3 jobs. Serving is not a full-time job for a lot of people. It's a part-time job to supplement income because it's the number one job in the country where you can come in there and make a decent wage in cash, you know, right away, every week. You'll have cash in your hand all the time. And for people to say, well, you know, these guys, they haven't made and all that kind of stuff, or I don't...
No one's saying you haven't made. I have never accused you of having it made.
Well, I've heard that argument, though, is that these guys get paid enough, or they should be paid...
Well, I'm the other side is, look, there are times when you get stiffed.
Yeah.
Or there are, why should you have to have your, why should your salary be at the whim of what a customer's etiquette or stance, philosophy on tipping is?
What a lot of people don't understand about servers' wages is that there are laws in Pennsylvania. Now, the minimum wage in Pennsylvania is $7.25 an hour. According to the labor laws in Pennsylvania, if I were to work an eight-hour shift and I did not make what would add up to be
$7.25
yeah. 25 cents an hour, my employer is responsible to make that up.
They ever do that?
Never. But according to the law, they're responsible to do it. There's a big poster in my work that has PA labor laws, you know, and it has the big, this is how much you're getting paid, this is how much, this is the minimum amount, and these are the hours you can work, and you can only be X amount of age to be here. And that's one of the things. You have to get at
least... If you're working full-time, doesn't he owe you health insurance?
Again, we're talking about a guy who...
No, but isn't that the law?
I would imagine that they have two accountants for a reason, and I would imagine that there's... Listen, you know that in every job you work at, there's one guy in that honeycomb of a corporate or, you know, whatever it is, entity, whose only job it is to make sure that you get just enough, but not too much.
I need one of those guys at Permanent Records. I need a honeycomb guy. Hey, sorry, Adam, you can't play the show. Wait, but I booked it. It's my show.
No,
I don't care.
I'm sorry.
You know, it would put you over.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. You know, you get people that, you know, the accountants for the restaurant will say he can't work these hours or you know, he'll be on overtime. You know, we would have to pay him overtime,
right,
or something like that. So we can't do that.
All right. Let's. So basically, where it stands now is you're fired up about tipping.
Yeah.
The
thanks.
Sharks are fucking awful.
Thanks for that.
No problem. Well, good. We're gonna go to the Sharks game. You can take it out on the pitchers.
Okay.
Most likely, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but most likely next year, you and I are going to be Wilmington Blue Rocks season ticket holders.
Thank Christ.
I'm up to here with the fucking Sharks. Just their Bush League attitude and the disrespect with which they treat their season ticket holders. And by them, I mean you and me.
Listen, last thing. Gentle reader, gentle listener, I would like for you to get out a piece of paper, all right? And I'd like for you to draw a half circle on this blank piece of paper, okay? And on the end of the half circle towards the right-hand side, I want you to put Camden River Sharks, okay? And on the other end of the circle near the left-hand side, I want you to put Wilmington Blue Rocks. This is the difference in the careers of these two teams.
Hope. It's all about hope.
There is actual hope. Keep hope alive.
Yeah. So you don't give a fuck about football, do you?
I just heard that the dog killer is going to be the quarterback. Michael Vick paid his debt, my friend.
He did.
He deserves to be
next month
a superstar
we'll
in this
league.
I don't
want to talk now, but it's about forgiveness. It's about, like Don Henley said.
It's about forgiveness?
Look, next month we'll get into that whole
thing. I'm very excited to hear Merrill Reese say Brandon Boykin as much as possible.
So what is your prediction of the score of the opener against the Redskins, RG3 versus Michael Vick?
It's going to be 27-13 Skins.
That sounds about right.
And as far as the entire season, I hope they win 6 games. I don't think they will.
5-11, I got them.
Yeah. I would say, you know, in that 4-12, 5-11 sort of thing.
And it's not who wins week 3 against Andy Reid? Chip Kelly or Andy Reid?
Oh, we win.
The Eagles win?
Yeah, because... Okay. Andy Reid's ineptitude knows no creed, boundary, or conference loyalty.
I'm watching the. It was probably a rerun of it, of the Chiefs Niners preseason game.
Yeah.
And there was like 2 or 4 or 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and I heard the announcers go, and the Chiefs have all 3 timeouts. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me! The Chiefs have all 3
who's
timeouts.
Who's the quarterback for the Chiefs? Is Matt Castle still?
Maybe. I tuned in the fourth quarter. Whoever it was.
Whenever
gone.
He starts to burn passes 5 feet in front of receivers, that's when I'm going to start being a Chiefs fan.
Well, thank you for your time. We got to drive to New Jersey, Camden, and see some. So we'll just go out. Where is I need the harmonica? of, but this has been an abbreviated episode of Rhymes Against Humanity.
Shorts.
Yeah, a shorter one. We went about 32 minutes. Oh, I should also say, since I will be away, there will be no episode next week, because I will be away on my road trip with the boys, watching the Phillies and eating giant hamburgers and such. But we will be back after Labor Day in September with some great, great musicians. I've just been speaking to some on the line. I have some good guests lined up.